Shalom to all. Today's office is Chul and Daf Sadi. We're starting about the 12th line with the words Amar Chiya Bar Yosef. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Marsh Mim Sarbas Yaakov Moshe Harnish Amos Shadav and Aliyah. So we just finished a very detailed back and forth explaining the chiddush of the time of the Mishnah. The Gidon Hashem applies by Mukdashin. So we continue discussing this. Amar Chiya Bar Yosef, he tells us Loi Shanu El Kachim Nachalin. This was only taught, meaning there's an Isser of Gidon Hashem is by Kachim Nachalin, Kachim which are eaten, such as Chatas Ashim and Shlomim. Aval Kachim Shein Nachalin, but Kachim that are not eaten, mean carbon oil, which is completely burned, ain't Isser Gidon Behen. There's no Isser of Gidon Hashem. Whereas Rabbi Yechon Amar, he says Echad Kachim Nachalin. That whether it's edible and even non-edible kachim, there's an isur gedan nasha. Now, the question is, what exactly are they referring to? So, Amrav Papa, he tells us, v'loi pligi, they're not arguing. Rav Chibar Yosef, Rav Yochanan are not arguing. Kan lehal kaisai, Rav Yochanan is referring to giving him malchus. Namely, if he eats a gedan nasha, he's going to get malchus. That's whether it's from chatos ashim or shlamim or even ayla. Whereas Kan, Rav Chibar Yosef, lehal loisai, he's talking about bringing it up on the mizbeach. Namely, when a carbon oil is being brought on the mizbeach, we don't have a problem of gedan nasha being put on it. The chiddush in that is we're going to see on Amud Beis. This is going to be mentioned. You shouldn't think that when the Torah says don't eat the get hanasha, that's referring to the mizbeach eating, meaning consuming the get hanasha, and there would be an isser to put the get hanasha on the mizbeach. No, there's no problem. The carbon oil is put on the mizbeach along with this get hanasha. Now, some say that Amar Papa had Rav Papa explain the opinions of Rav Chiya Bar Yosef and Rav Yochanan. The v'loi pligi, they're not arguing. Kan l'chaltzai, Rav Chiya Bar Yosef is referring to removing it, meaning there's no chiyuv to remove the get hanasha from the oil before it's put on the mizbeach, and that's in essence the same thing he just mentioned previously. Whereas the kan l'chaltzai over here in Rav Yochanan's opinion, it's referring to bringing it up, meaning the get hanasha got separated from the carbon, so then it's not allowed to be brought on the mizbeach. That's what Rav Yochanan meant when he said the get hanasha does apply to an oilah. However, Rav Yitzchak argues with their papa, and he says aloisai pligi, that there actually is machlokes between Rav Chiya Bar Yosef and Rav Yochanan, and they're arguing specifically regarding aloisai bringing it up on the mizbeach. And Rav Yochanan holds that the get hanasha is not allowed to be brought on the mizbeach, and it has to be removed from the animal beforehand. Whereas Rav Chiya Bar Yosef holds, no, it's allowed to be brought with the animal as long as it's part of the animal. It's brought on the mizbeach. And I don't know if this would be the machlokes of Rav Yitzchak Titani because we have a braiso. We're going to say this is the same machlokes Rebbe and the Rabbanon. Rice brings a pasuk from Karmon Oila, the Hektar Kainis Akalim is Becha, and the Kain shall burn everything on the Mizbeach. What does this tell us? Lurabis, Hatamas, Vagidim, Akarnaim, Atlafayim. This is including the bones, sinews, horns, and hooves that they're also put on the Mizbeach. Now, Yochi might think Afil Parshu, that even if they were separated from the meat, they should nonetheless be put on the Mizbeach. Tamalim, so the pasuk says, Vasiso Ila Secha, Basar, Adam, you shall do your Oila, Basar, and Dam, Mashma, only the Basar and the Dam, and not these other things, bones, sinews, horns, and hooves, they're not going to be put on the Mizbeach. Rice says, E Basar, Adam, if we're just going to be focusing on this pasuk, Basar, and Dam, Yochi might think that Yachlitz, Gidim, Atsamois, that I should actually remove all the gidim and bones from the animal and just put the meat of the oil on the mizbeach. So Tamalim, to that the pasuk says, "V'ekhtar koyin esak oil hamizbeicha." Everything is put on the mizbeach. So Hakeitzad, how do we understand this? Mechubarim yalu. If the bones and sinews and everything are still connected to the meat, so then they're brought on the mizbeach. Whereas Parshu, if they were separated, afilu b'roish shal mizbeach, even if at the very top of the mizbeach already, yardu they should come down, meaning they should be brought down. And my tana de shamas lay the or Parshu yardu, who's the tana of this brisa, holds that if these things were separated from the oil, then they have to be brought down and they're not put on the mizbeach. Rabbi Yitzchitz Rabbi. The time we have another brisa that tells us, and here's the main brisa. The pasuk tells us, "V'hikdar kainis akol, the kain shall burn everything." The rabbi said, "Someone's vagidim akarnaim tlofayim." That includes the bones, sinews, horns, and hooves. They should be put on the mizbeach and burned. Vafilu parashu. That's even if they're separated from the meat. So v'ha mani makayim vasisa l'secha basar adam. How do I understand this other pasuk? You shall process your oilah, the meat and the blood. Mashma, the horns, hooves, and gidim and atzamos are not going to be put on the mizbeach. That's bepaikin. If they were burst off the mizbeach, meaning if they were already put on the fires of the mizbeach, and because of the intense heat, they were blasted off the mizbeach. So then they're not going to be put back on. Hakitzad, how do we understand that? So here's a more detailed description. Ikuli basar atamachzir. If we have meat that was meukal, which means it was only partially burned, and then it got knocked off because of the heat, so that you're going to be machzir, that you're going to put back on the fires. But yet machzir ikuli gidim atzamos, you're not going to return gidim and atzamos back to the top of the mizbeach, even though they were just partially consumed. And that's what the pasuk is telling us by habasar v'hadam. Now that's shitas rabbanon. Rabbi Yomir, Rabbi tells us because of echad one pasuk says v'hektar kainis hakol riba. That's an inclusion. It says hakol everything. Because of echad another pasuk says v'asisa elasach habasar v'hadam me. That's a minimization. It just says basar and dam. Okay, so how do I understand that? So mechubarim yalu, if the bones and sinews and whatnot are connected to the meat, so then they're brought up and put on the fires. Whereas parshu, if they were separated, afilu bereshal mizbeach, even at the top of the mizbeach, yerdu they should be brought down. Now that's the end of the brisa. We still do not yet see that there's a machlokes regarding the ged hanasha. So for the only machlokes Rabbanu Rebbe is regarding the non-meat parts of the carbon, bones and sinews and whatnot. Rebbe holds that if they were separated before being placed on the mizbeach, then they're taken down. Whereas Rabbanon hold that they're not. So we further clarify the respective shitas. Rabbanon mechubarim leisach chroler buye. The Rabbanon don't require a pasuk to tell us that if the gidim and atzamos are still connected, they're still mechubar to the meat, that they're allowed to be put on the mizbeach. Why is that? Meat that have a reshal oila. It's no different than the head of an oila. The pasuk says that the head of an oila is supposed to be put on, and the head is made up of multiple bones. So of course you're allowed to put meat on the mizbeach if it has the bones connected to it. Kitzur chol, what we need the pasuk for leparshai in regards to these gidim and atzamos, even if they were separated from the meat, still they can be put on the mizbeach. Whereas Rebbe, how would he respond to that? Mechubar mita teira tzadion beizan tabla. It's a chol. Then when we have something connected to the meat, and that thing is mutter, so you're right. We don't need a pasuk to tell us that we can put on the Mizbeach. Kesercha, what do we need the pasuk for? Legid hanasha b'mechaber. Specifically in regards to the gid hanasha, when it's connected to the leg of the animal, so it's allowed to be brought on the Mizbeach, even though it's something that's not able to be eaten. Now, Rabbanan, they would respond to that by saying that the pasuk tells me Mashke Yisrael. What do we learn from here? Mina mutter li Yisrael, something that's mutter to Yidin. In other words, according to Rabbanan, it's exact opposite. The pasuk Mashke Yisrael tells us that only something mutter to eat is allowed to be placed on the Mizbeach. So actually, the gid hanasha has to be removed before the meat is brought up. Whereas Rabbi, he would respond by saying, the gid hanasha is no different than the chilv and the blood. You're not allowed to eat chilv and blood of the animal, but that's part of the avodah. Same thing with gid hanasha. Whereas Rabbanan, they would say that that's not valid because mitzvah and mekach shani. The fact that that's part of the mitzvah makes it different. In other words, the chilv, the fats of the animal, are supposed to be put on the mizbeach. Same thing with the dam. As opposed to gid hanasha, the pasuk doesn't say anything about that. As Rabbanan used the word mashke yisrael to teach us that the gid hanasha actually has to be taken out of the animal before the leg is put on the mizbeach. Now we clearly see this machlokes Rabbi and Rabbanan regarding gid hanasha, and this is a raya from Nachman bar Yitzchak that Ruchi bar Yosef and Rabbi Yochanan argue on this point. Ruchi bar Yosef is like Rabbi, and Rabbi Yochanan is like the Rabbanan. Now, can you discuss what to do with the gid hanasha of a carbon? Amar Rav Kuni tells us gid hanasha shel oila, the gid hanasha of a carbon oila chaltsoy letapuach. It has to be removed and placed on the tapuach. This tapuach, which is literally translated as apple, was the mound of ashes in the middle of Mizbeach. Rashi, a bit further down the Amud, explains that any time unwanted matter is shoveled and scraped from the sides into the middle, it's called tapuach. So Rav Kuni says the gid hanasha of the carbon oila is brought to the top of the Mizbeach, but then removed from the leg and put on the tapuach. Amar Rav Chisda, he comments on this, Mari Dichi, master of this. Meaning, what are you saying? Miksev, does the pasuk tell us, Al kein lo yoichal ha-mizbeach, therefore the Mizbeach shouldn't consume the gid hanasha? Al kein lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael ksev. The pasuk says the b'nei Yisrael shouldn't eat the gid hanasha, which means that the gid hanasha is allowed to be consumed on the Mizbeach, so you're allowed to put in the fires with the meat, and it doesn't have to be taken out and put on the tapuach. Whereas Rav Huna, mi mashke Yisrael, he learns from his pasuk above, it tells us mashke Yisrael, and we learn from here, min ha-mutter li Yisrael, that only something that's mutter for Yidin to eat is allowed to be burned on the Mizbeach. Now we have a question. Basically, Brisa tells us, gid hanasha shel shlamim, the gid hanasha of a carbon shlamim, mechabdu la'ama, it's just swept into the ama. The ama is a channel of water going through the hazara, in which a lot of refuse, such as blood and dirty water and feathers and coals and whatnot, they're swept into it, and there's water brought out of the Beis HaMikdash, and that's where the gid hanasha of a carbon shlamim shall be placed, v'shal oila malayu, and gid hanasha of oila shall be brought up. Now, my lav malayu maktiroi, does that mean that the gid hanasha should be brought to his Mizbeach and burned as well? Question of Huna, so Gemara, like, no, malayu v'chaltsoi, it's brought up to the Mizbeach, but then removed and put on the tapuach. Asking more, ma'ach shechaltsoi lo malayu, if it's going to be removed anyway, so why even bring it to the top of his Mizbeach in the first place? The answer is, Mishum Shem, because the pasuk says, Hakiveyu Nola Pechasecha, bring a please for your governor, which is basically a pasuk that we learn a number of things from, all fitting under the umbrella of that you can only bring something as a carbon if you'd bring it to your governor, Pechasecha. And if not, then you can't bring it as a carbon, and that's what we're saying over here. If you had a nice geshmaka thigh from an animal that you would give as a present to somebody chashuv, you wouldn't slice it open and chop it up, taking out the gid, and then giving it to him. That's not the proper way to present a nice gezunta piece of meat to him. Same thing with this thigh of the oila on the Mizbeach. First, you bring it whole to the top of the Mizbeach, and only then, once it's there, so to speak, already presented to Hashem, then you could cut out the gid and put on the tapuach. And thank you, Rav Huna. We actually have a price just like Rav Huna. Gid hanasha shlamim mechabdu la'ama, the gid hanasha shlamim is swept into the ama, this canal, whereas the shal oila chal to the tapuach. It says beferosh that of a carbon oila is removed and placed on the tapuach. And now a little more about this tapuach. Then also we mentioned over there in Sechas Talmid, tapuach haya ba'emtza Mizbeach. This tapuach was in the middle of Mizbeach. Pa'amim haya olav kishloish meis kur. Sometimes it had 300 kur of ashes on it, which is an incredible amount. Now Rava, he says, no guzma, that's just an exaggeration. It just means that sometimes there was a lot of ashes there, but not 300 kor. Also something similar, Hishkas HaTamid B'Kai Shel Zav, it says that before shechting the carbon tamid, they would give it to drink from a cup of gold, and that's because when it drinks before it's shechted, it's easier to take the skin off. Now Amar Rav, says over here as well, guzma is just an exaggeration, they didn't actually give it to drink from a golden cup. Now Amar Rav, he tells us, Dibra Tayr Lashon Havai, Dibra Nevim Lashon Havai, Dibra Chacham Lashon Havai. Now Lashon Havai means exaggeration, hyperbole. In other words, imprecise language that's used by regular people, it's not intended as a falsehood, it's just a classic way common people talk. And so Rami is telling us that the Torah, Nevi'im, and Chachamim speak like this. Dibur Chacham Lashon Havai, Had Amran. If I had a Chacham speaking exaggeration, we just said that in regards to Tapuach. Dibur Torah Lashon Havai, how do we know that the Torah speaks in exaggeration? That's because Moshe Rabbeinu told Bnei Yisrael regarding Eretz Yisrael, Arim Gedolus Ubitzuris Bashamayim, large cities fortified to the heavens. That's what you're going to find there, and obviously a city can't be fortified to the heavens, so that's an exaggeration. And Dibur Nevi'im Lashon Havai, how do Nevi'im spoke in an exaggerated way? We see this in regards to the coronation of Shlomo HaMelech. It says, Batibaka Ha'aretz L'Kailam, that the ground split from their noise. There was so much noise by his coronation, it was like the ground split, and obviously the ground didn't actually split. It's just an exaggeration. Amar Yitzchak Nachmani, Amar Shmuley tells us, B'shalish HaMakam is Dibur Chacham Lashon Havai. There's three places that we find the Chacham spoke in exaggeration. Eluhin, these are them, Tapuach, Gefen, Uparoiches. Tapuach Had Amron. We just mentioned Tapuach, that sometimes there was 300 core of ashes on it, and as Rav had said, that's just an exaggeration. Gefen, what's this referring to? That now this Mishnah tells us, Gefen Shel Zav Ha'isoy Medet HaPischa Shel Heichal, was a golden grapevine or cluster of grapes that was at the entrance of the Heichal, Umudla Gabi Kloinsois, and was hanging on poles. Anyone who wanted to donate a golden grape or a golden cluster, Levi v'toilaba, he'd bring it to the base of Mikdash, and a kohen would hang it on this very large golden cluster that was by the entrance of the Heichal. And Rav Elazar ben Tzaddik, he tells us, there was a story, v'nimnu olav shalish meis kohanim l'fanoisa, and they had to appoint 300 kohanim to remove it, because if not, it would have just fallen down due to the weight of all the gold that was there, and this is one of the exaggerations. And Parochas, what's this referring to? Then now we have a Mishnah, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon Asgan, Parochas of the base of Mikdash, Oivya Tafach, its thickness was a Tafach, val shivmu shnayim nirim neregas, and is woven with 72 heddles. Basically, the loom, which is the weaving apparatus, has little holes, which are called heddles, or bati nirim, and that's where the thread is placed through. So the loom they used had 72 nirim, and val kol nirim, every single thread was comprised of what? Esim arba chutim, 24 strands, erka the length, which really means the height of the parochas, arbaim ba'am was 40 amas, v'rachba, its width was esim ba'am 20 amas, ushmanu shtei ribay nases, it was made from 820,000 chutim, strands. According to another explanation, ribay means young women, young maidens. So there's 82 young women that made the parochas, ushtaim oisim mashana, two were made every single year. And here's a divrei avai, the exaggeration, ushalish meis kohanim adbilon oisa, it took 300 kohanim to be tovel it when it became tamei. And continues to explain the Mishnah, b'yach shal yimin, b'yach shal smol, they get an oshes both in the right and left thigh. It says, m'gmar, masnisen, like Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya of Bryce, Rabbi Yehuda, he tells us, einu noig el ba'achas, they get an oshes only with one of them, v'adas machras shal yimin. And the das, the logic, the intellect that leans a person to saying that it's the right one which is a problem. Now, by the way, that's the question. Mishat pshitol le Rabbi Yehuda, is it 100% clear to Rabbi Yehuda? It's obvious to him, the right thigh that has a problem with getting anasha. And my das, what do he mean by das machras? It's referring to das toira that we see in a Torah that it's like this. I don't know, perhaps fukim sabkale. The Rabbi Yehuda is just mesopek. My das, what does he mean by das? Das noita, it means a person's intellect inclines him, leans him, pushes him towards saying that it's probably the right one, but it's not with 100% certainty. And why would that be? Well, because remember, the whole thing of getting anasha comes from Yaakov's fight with the Malchav Esav, and it says vayayavik ish imai, which is loosely translated as each man grappled with each other. And when two people are grappling or wrestling, so their arms are wrapped around each other, the assumption is the Malchav Esav dislocated Yaakov's thigh with his right hand, that would be the stronger hand, so his right hand goes to Yaakov's left side, but then when he wraps around Yaakov because of wrestling, that means his right hand now reaches to the right thigh, and that's how he dislocated it, and so that's the das noita of why it would be the right one. So when it comes to Raya Toshma, we have Rasa talks about Karm Pesach, and we know the Pasuk tells us beferish by the Karm Pesach, don't leave any meat over until the morning, anything that was left over until the morning, but ish desreif we shall be burned in fire, and that's the classic iser of noisar, leaving kutchim meat past the time where it's allowed to be eaten. So Bryce says as follows, ha'atzomis v'agidim v'hanoisar yisvu l'shishasar, the bones, gidim, and noisar of the Karm Pesach should be burned on the 16th, which is the first day of Chol HaMoed. Now, v'avinu what we ask on this Bryce, hani gidim avetayu, what's the Bryce referring to when it says the gidim of the Karm Pesach? If they were left over, they have to be burned. E'gide basar, if we're talking about gidim, which are considered meat, they're soft gidim that could be eaten, so chlenhu, the person should have eaten them the night of Pesach, shouldn't have left them over. Vida aitar, if you want to say the person didn't have a chance to eat them or whatever, something happened, so he left them over. Well, hainu noisar, that's the same thing as noisar in the Brisa, since these are edible gidim, they're just considered like meat, so that's included in the word noisar. Why does the Brisa say gidim? Or rather, you want to say gidei tzavar. We're talking about gidim, sinews in the neck of the animal. Well, ilav basar ninhu, if they're not considered basar at all, they're not edible, so lishdenu, he should just throw them in the garbage, he doesn't have to burn them, there's no reason, they're not considered noisar. And Amar of Chizr, Chizr clarify, loinus chael gena noshe. This Brisa is referring to the gena noshe, valibiz Rabbi Yehuda, it is according to Rabbi Yehuda, Damru says, ain noig el ba'achas, that the isra gena noshe only applies to one of the thighs. Now, if you want to say that Rehud is Mesopik, he doesn't know with 100% certainty that the Isra of Gidon Nasha is in the right thigh. So, Shabbat, this is good, because one of the Gidim is allowed to be eaten, but since we don't know 100% that that's the left one, and the right one is the one that's Usur, so both Gidim were left over, which requires them to be burned, because one of them is nicer. Eliyahu Mishnah Pshitalei, but if you want to say that Rehud is 100% certain that it's the right thigh which is problematic, so the Teru Lechle, the Isra Lashade, then he should have just eaten the Mutter one and thrown away the Usur one, and the Brisa doesn't have to say that one of the Gidim of the Karim Pesach is burned on the 16th. So, must be that Rehud is Mesopik. However, Amr Ikab Bar Chanina, he says not a raya. Really, I could tell you that it's Pashat Rabbi Huda that the right gid is the problematic one. What are you talking about over here? That it was left over and we had to burn it. Is where they originally knew this is the right and this is the left, and then they got mixed up and they couldn't tell which is right, which is left, so they had to leave it over, and that's what the Brisa is telling us. Tadi Alpha Amar Alpha on top of Ashi Amar, he says differently. The whole chiddush of the Brisa is regarding the fat of the Gidon Hashem. The time of a Brisa, Shamnoi Mutter, the fat of the Gidon Hashem, Midai Raisa, is Mutter to be eaten. Yisrael Kadaishim, Nagu by Isser, and the Yidin, who are holy, their custom is that they're machmir and they don't eat it. But since midday rice, it's allowed to be eaten when it's left over Pesach morning, so it has to be burned, and that's what the Brisa is telling us. Whereas Ravina, where he says, Lo nishcha el chad Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the chiddush of the Brisa is for Rabbi Yehuda said b'shem Shmuel, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Shnei Gidim Hain, there's two different Gidin, Panimi Samach La'atzem Aser, the inner one, which is closer to the bone, is Aser, V'chayav and Olav, and one's going to be chai for eating it, he gets Malkas. Whereas Chitzin, Samach La'basar, the outer one, which is closer to the meat, Aser, it's Aser, but the ain chayav and Olav, one's not going to get Malkas for it, and that's what the Brisa could be referring to, that it's this outer Gid, which is Aser, only midrabanon, and one's not going to be chayv malchus for, and that's what needs to be burned. So we have three different explanations how the Brisa is not a raya, the Rabbi Yehuda is mesupik regarding regarding the gid, it's actually possible Rabbi Yehuda does know 100% that's the right gid, which is the problem. We're going to stop here for the day. Pick up tomorrow, continue to discuss this, trying to figure out Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.